Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We are so glad that you're here and joining us. And, as promised, me and Matt, my man, will be giving you a sneak peek of the 2025 rookie class. Not really a sneak peek, because like Matty said right before I hit the record button, he's balls deep on this thing. How you doing, Matty? Balls deep.
Yeah, I'm doing good, but Mike, you see all these people congregating down in Mobile to see some of these kids in person, it makes me think, should South Harmon have some presence down there next year? Should you and I just find another excuse to hang out together in person?
Yeah, it'd be fun, as long as Jim Nagy, you know, in a little bit of hot water today with some of the tweets that he put out, and a lot of people attacking the man on Twitter, the guy who organizes the Senior Bowl and has brought it to this extreme relevance. Let's just hope that that trend doesn't continue, man. I don't know Jim. I've never met him. But, you know, I do thank him for the Senior Bowl. Definitely. Maybe put a little more care, caution into what you tweet out. Maybe don't go shit on the Shrine Bowl right away. I don't know. Seems like people were not excited with that one. The shit was getting flung, for sure. It's like, holy hell, this is kind of interesting to read. Doesn't involve me, which is awesome.
But Jim, if you are listening, we are, you know, South Harmon Institute of Technology. We are in the shit. So if you're in the shit, we're in the shit. Maybe we can all be in the shit together in Mobile.
That'd be all right. I am open to bribes, by the way. You know,
we ain't about bribes here.
Plane tickets and passes. I'll promote the shit out of anything on a bribe.
I will dump all over the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, I have no moral compass.
I can be bought, Mike.
Completely fine by me. Yes, I am in. Maddie, how you been, my man? It's been a week. We had a good South Harmon staff meeting over the weekend. You and I have also talked a few times, but just catching up. You know, how's the fam? How you doing?
Well, I mean, I don't know what it is in the air around the whole country, but the sickness is in the air. I Thursday woke up feeling like absolute trash. It took me up until pretty much yesterday to shake it, and now, like, you know. One of my buddies has got sick. It feels like it's just something in the air right now. Everyone's getting sick, but other than that, everything's Gucci gang.
Love it. Love it. Now you're Gucci, but I do not love the sickness, and you're right. Feels like there's a new type of virus or flu or cold or something going around all the time, right? And they got all kinds of names for them. At this point, they should just name them like hurricanes, just with the alphabet, right? This is you know, you remember it was like the norovirus was a big thing, maybe, at the beginning of the month.
That was like a stomach thing.
Yeah.
And now it's more of like a flu thing.
So maybe we're on like the Peter virus.
Next week it's going to be like what's a Q name? Oh my God, why did I choose Q? We're going to skip
what a
Q.
Terrible letter. What
the Rick virus.
The Rick virus.
The pickle Rick virus.
Can't trust them Ricks, that's for sure. Them Richards, them Dicks.
Trust them Richards.
All right, Maddie, 2025 class. When I say it, what's the first word that comes to mind for 2025? Give me the 2025 class summarized in one word. And this will be the whole podcast, and we'll end the show right after this.
I don't know if it's one word, but I'm going to make it one word. Ball carriers.
Ball carriers. We'll accept it. That could be one word. I'm dumb. I'm from the Midwest. We probably spell it as one word. Pretty easily.
Ball carriers.
I hope nobody ever calls me a ball carrier. Sounds like an insult. But Maddie, I'm going to go with meh. There's my one word. Meh. Meh. It's fine. Class is fine. It's just here's the big rub, man. The big rub. We're both semi-decent looking gentlemen, right?
I think better than semi.
Nah, let's be modest here. We're semi-decent.
Listen. Sometimes I think, you know, this is a podcast, so you can't see us, but we get to look at each other when we record. Hey, let's call it what it is. We're just a couple of 1-2 cutie pies with beards.
Well, that's true. Well, we got extremely high self-confidence, you know, so that's we can fair. Take it. But in the grand scheme of things, we're like sixes. You know what I mean? We're like sixes. Here's the problem with the 25 class. It's probably a six, just like us. Probably got a nice beard and a smile and a great personality and real friendly, you know? Little bit of squeezing, you know? A little bit of love handles, you know? A little cushion. We can keep you warm at night, you know? We're soft. We're like big teddy bears. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're standing in a bar next to Channing Tatum. Right? That's the 2025 class. It is a nice six. It is a nice bearded fat guy
who seems safe. Who will make you laugh.
But compared to the 2024 class, it's standing next to an Adonis. You know, pick whatever the world's sexiest man is at this point. I don't know. I just default to Channing Tatum because I'm old as shit. You know, that's my man's. That's my man's. But whoever the sexiest man alive to you is, that's who we're standing next to. So, that six goes down to like a three. Like, ugh, what the fuck's wrong with this freak?
Yes. This class is the Duff. You ever hear of a Duff?
No, what's the Duff?
The Duff is, what is it called? The designated ugly fat friend.
Oh, no.
And the theory behind it is you get a Duff and the crew makes all the rest look a little better. Looking at the 24 class. Oh. Looking at the 26 class.
Is that why I'm invited 25 out?
25 might be the Duff.
That's why I'm invited out all the time, ain't it?
Come on, Mike. Listen, and you are not the Duff, because think about the Duff. The Duff's kind of usually a wet blanket also. Mm. You don't bring a Duff that can elevate themselves.
That's true.
With some drinks and fun. You know, that's like a Duff.
I'm kind of like the Iowa Hawkeyes, man. I play up to the competition or down to the competition.
Fluidity.
We got a lot in common. You know, we're playing, you know, South Dakota Grambling State Tech University, Sisters of St. Mary's Culinary School. It's going to be a tight ball game, even though we should blow them off the map, you know? But we also hang around in the Ohio State game like, what the fuck? Why are you here?
You bleed a little bit.
Why are you making them earn it? Right? That's me. So not quite the Duff. Maybe the next level, whatever that is. We'll come up with a name for it. Maddie, this 25 class, we'll start with quarterback position. Super flex, you know, runs the world. Yep. Quarterbacks as a whole. I think this is probably the biggest, like, oh, damn it. Like, when looking at the whole class, this is kind of what makes it just terrible. I mean, last year we got spoiled. Six quarterbacks in the first round. All five of them that played were great. The sixth one happens to play in an amazing offense. Amazing head coach, great scheme, great weapons around him. Didn't play this year, but we watched Sammy fucking Darnold look competent and almost get $50 million a year. Now, maybe he still gets $50 million a year, but after the last couple games, I think that was probably dead and gone. J.J. McCarthy still got a chance to be really, really good and somebody that we can get pretty excited about in Dynasty. This quarterback class, on the other hand, big name at the top. Big name at the top for a lot of people in Shedeur Sanders, Deion's kid, in the limelight for a long time. I mean, shit, the dude's on, you ever watch that Coach Prime on Amazon?
Which is great, yeah.
By the way. Infectious. Put Coach Prime on Amazon Prime.
Prime is
infectious. Like, the kid's been in the spotlight. He's got a lot of haters. He's also got a lot of fans. He's done nothing but, you know, walk a straight and narrow line. Some people want to say he's spoiled or silver spooned or whatever, but I thought he's handled it all admirably. Hasn't really ever been a problem, and just gone out there and tried to play his ass off. That's your headliner. Here's the problem for me. We watched the film. We watched the film on Shedeur, and I was probably one of the biggest truthers, you know, like leadership and moxie and, you know, all those words you throw out there, and he can handle the pressure and he elevates everybody around him. you put on the film, and it's a pretty average quarterback. Like, it just, it nothing wows you. Everything's just kind of a layup, a Russell Wilson, like, floater ball without any of the extra, like, ooh, that was a moonshot. Look at that thing. I mean, it's a moonshot even on simple slants, Maddie, which scared the shit out of me because I was under the impression that maybe he's got above average arm strength and he can really fire it in there. I'm telling you, we watched five games last week. I didn't see a single slant route where I was like, damn, he put some mustard on that one. Like, that was a, whew, that was a laser. Not a single out route, not a single throw where I was like, look at that arm strength. It was more like, oh no. Oh no, it was better in my mind. It was better in my mind. And I went into it all excited. And I'm sitting there at the end of the film session at patreon.com/South Harmon, by the way. Join the Discord. Come hang out with us on Thursdays or rewatch it. You know, Redward's doing a good job screen grabbing the whole thing, my man. I would say this at the end of it, watching it, I was just like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. It wasn't a good feeling. But this is a lot of people's QB1. This might be the NFL's QB1. I think the draft capital is fine. It kind of sounds like this guy's going to be a top five pick no matter what at this point. But we have seen this, man. I remember one time Sam Howell might be the first pick or Malik Willis might be the first pick. This feels a little bit more sure, but let's just say if I'm starting off the 25 rookie class talking about the most important position in your rookie drafts, in your fantasy dynasty drafts, in Superflex leagues, and I'm going, I'm sorry, after the film session. It's not a good feeling to have, Matt. Bueno.
I agree. The only thing I don't necessarily agree with is the name you brought up. I think there's only one QB that could be the bearing of hope for fantasy, and it's Cam Ward. Shador, if his last name was Shador, pick anything, Green. Shador Smith, Shador Kiwum. He's just in a bucket with a bunch of quarterbacks that we don't really know how it will pan out. The production was there. About 30 fantasy points per game at the collegiate level, good passing grades. But, man, he took a lot of sacks. I know that's not his fault. But one number that tends to stick out, there are anomalies, but what sticks out is kids who take a lot of sacks in college don't typically get more efficient, sharper in the NFL because let's call a spade, he's not going to go to a team with an elite offensive line. He is going to go to the Giants. He is going to go to the Titans where he will struggle the same way he struggled at Colorado. Intangibles through the roof, pedigree through the roof. But again, Mike, sometimes the scouts, you know, the scouting industrial complex has gotten so big and disgusting. Mock drafts come out earlier and earlier. Takes get hotter and hotter for no reason. All of this stuff continuously perpetuates itself. And Shador might just be the beneficiary of that more than he is someone that will actually produce for us in fantasy. I don't know what his ceiling is. I think there's a realm where he can have that C.J. Stroud rookie year, but let's not forget that C.J. Stroud rookie year was outside of the top 10 overall, just inside the top 10 on a points per game basis. It never really won fantasy championships. And then last year, boom, he fell off QB 27 on a points per game basis. He doesn't run a lot, but again, he's got the swag and the pedigree, and it's tough to completely discount a kid with that type of bloodline. But again, I talk about the scouting industrial complex. It's gotten more narrow. Sometimes you have to pull it back and realize Shador went to Jackson State. Now, that was, you know, there was obviously a lot behind that, but he also wasn't getting he wasn't getting offers from the top countries. He was a three-star quarterback coming out of high school. And we've seen guys, you know, develop. I mean, Cam Ward was a zero-star quarterback. Mm-hmm. But one thing we did see last year was the benefit of reps. We saw it with Penix. We saw it with Nix. We saw it with Jaden Daniels. The reps helped. There are a lot of reps behind Cam Ward, and Cam Ward runs a little bit better. He definitely has more of an arm, but 67% completion percentage. That's like right at that line where we're like, it's pretty good. Not elite. Shador is more elite, but he didn't really have the rocket arm. I can squint and see a QB1 in this class. I guess I don't know if I'm ready to pick one or the other, but right now I'm on Ward. After that, though, Mike, I mean, you want to talk about standing next to Channing Tatum, the 24 class. You couldn't miss by taking one of those first-round quarterbacks. We talked about Knicks last week. And guess what? We still haven't even seen the best days of Caleb Williams. We still haven't seen J.J. McCarthy on the field. That class is going to get richer. And now I look at this, and you're going to hate when I say this, but I've moved Will Howard up to my top four. It's not a good class at quarterback.
So I'm going to read off. This is a scouting report written by Lennox Tate on Shedeur Sanders from NFLDraftBuzz.com. I shout out good people, good work. I like the stuff that they do over there. I think it's a fantastic website. Mm-hmm. It always helps me out just to keep me fresh on, oh, yeah, maybe I should pay attention to this guy. Matty, you tell me. I don't know if you – did you get a chance to watch that Shedeur film session with us or on the replay or not? If you got to dive into it, and we can just go through it, and I'll tell you what I agree with and what I don't agree with, all right? Okay. So on his strengths, elite processing speed and diagnostic ability that consistently shows up pre-snap. I would say that is truthful. I think he is very good on the pre-snap of kind of figuring out what he wants to do. He's also very good at working through his progressions. Like, you can watch the film, and we watched that on Thursday night last week. He'll go to his first read, his second read, his third read. Now, at times, we were kind of pointing out and making fun of, you know, like Jimmy Horn would be wide open, but this man wanted to feed the shit out of Travis Hunter, right? Like, he wanted to feed the shit out of Travis Hunter. So just something to keep in mind, like, say he does go to the Giants. You talked about Malik Nabers, the fucking shares. We think that target share can't repeat itself. I'm telling you, if Shedeur is the one throwing him the football, it's going to repeat itself, right? Poor Jimmy Horn, man. I think I said Jimmy Ward. Not the fucking safety. Jimmy Horn. Jimmy Horn would be wide open. It was kind of frustrating, too, because I'm kind of a Jimmy Horn fan. Surgical accuracy in the short and intermediate game. I do agree with that. 74.2% completion rate. He has a particular mastery of timing routes. I would say that is probably accurate. Like, he's pretty good. Rare poise under duress. I would say he is. He keeps it very calm. Right? He keeps it very calm. He kind of knows what he wants to do. This is on the strength side, but we'll get to some of the negatives on that, the poise under duress at times. Lightning quick compact release. I don't know. It didn't feel lightning quick to me. All right. Compact, I probably agree with, but it doesn't feel lightning quick. It kind of feels like a little more of a wind up. Right? Advanced understanding of defensive leverage, particularly evident on intermediate routes. Okay. I can probably agree with that. Ball security, outstanding ball security relative to volume. Yeah, he didn't end up turning the football over very much. Let me say that. I put the end up in quotes or caps or emphasize. End up turning the football over. Natural command of the huddle, sideline presence that elevates teammates and performance. I think we agree on that one. Above average mobility with enough juice to extend plays. I would say his mobility is just average. If you want to say above average compared to, like, if Tom Brady's your average, that is facts. Above average compared to, like, what we see out of Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, even C.J. Stroud. Like, name some of these quarterbacks out there. Mobility, above average? Not anymore, because I think the average has gotten raised, especially with this incoming class and what we saw this past year. So, the weaknesses. Still developing ability to diagnose complex defensive looks. Facts, right? Exotic blitzes fuck him up. Mm-hmm. They will fuck him up. Can be overconfident in arm talent. That is a big fact. Sometimes he tries or he thinks that he's got a Josh Allen cannon. And he don't. No. He don't. He got a Russell Wilson now, 2024, 2025 Russell Wilson cannon. Right?
Yeah.
Takes too many negative plays rather than throwing the ball away. This is where I say, like, his poise or his turnover problems. That's where it says ends up with not a lot. And I put that exclamation on it. because at times, especially watching the film, you like his ability to not just give up on a play. You like his ability to move around in the pocket. He's got really good pocket mobility, and he doesn't go down very easily. But the problem is he also thinks he's Caleb Williams playing, you know, South Dakota Tech University sometimes. And he can do all these loop-de-loops and spin outs and everything right. else and ends up taking a 20-yard sack. Right? Like, you're not that dude. All right? Don't do that shit. It kind of reminded me when we watched him of, like, how Deshaun Watson used to play in Houston, except worse. Like, a lot worse. Right? You remember how Watson was, like, never down. He'd never give up on anything. Mm-hmm. The problem is Shador isn't as elusive as Watson was in the pocket. Right?
Right.
But that kind of thing where there'd be three guys hanging on of him and the one dude flies over his back as he ducks under. Shador tries to do that shit.
That movie stuff.
It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Shows tendency to drift backwards under pressure instead of climbing the pocket. That is factual. And must improve recognition and response time against sophisticated blitz packages. So those are your positives and negatives. I think CJ Stroud comp would be like a ceiling for him right now, as it stands. Now, I'm not saying the kid can't get better, right? We talked about a 3-star prospect, kind of unheralded, goes to Jackson State, starts immediately, really fucking puts it on. You're like, oh, wow. Okay, well, it's just at Jackson State. So he still had his detractors. Goes to Division I, follows his dad, and really impresses last year and impressed again this year. He's gotten better every single year. So I'm not saying he can't get better, but as it stands right now, if I had to rank him with the 24 class, he wouldn't even be in the top six. Not even close.
That's correct.
Not even close. Wouldn't even be close. At best, he'd be QB7. And I say all that to say, you brought up Cam Ward, my QB1 right now. Now, we still have yet to watch the tape on him, but from what I have watched in my own personal time, I think Cam Ward's that dude. Now, Cam Ward, even in this class, like if I compared him to 2024, Maddie, maybe QB4 at best. Maybe. That's the starting point. That's the starting point. That's still a rough look. But I do like Cam Ward for a lot of the reasons you said. The arm talent is very evident. He made some throws this past year where I go, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. The mobility isn't Jaden Daniels. It's not even Bo Nix. But it's a possibility of being there. He's got a great frame. He's thick. He's got a cannon. He's very poised under pressure. He's almost so poised that he looks nonchalant, like he just doesn't give a shit. Like there's little to no emotion coming out of this man, which I also kind of like. I kind of like those silent assassins. And there's that clip of him basically dogging on Shador in the offseason. Like, you know, saying like, I got better today and you didn't do shit. Like you over there fixing your hair and like on TikTok. I like that. I like that mentality. Like I'm out here working, bitch. You ain't doing nothing. All right. So Cam Ward for me is QB1. But like I said, we still got to get to the film for it. But if I had to rank him right now, it's Cam Ward 1, Shador 2. And is it sad to say I frankly don't really give a shit about anybody else? I mean, Jalen Milroe is exciting to me because of the athleticism and the legs. By all reports, he's having a very rough Senior Bowl start. Now, can he turn it around? Awesome.
You don't know what that means.
It is not going really well for him. He would be the most interesting one because of fantasy purposes. You brought up Will Howard. I hated him. The playoff run did him a lot of favors. So if he can continue to capitalize on that momentum, he's got size. You watched him make that awesome throw to Jeremiah Smith with the fucking, to put the game away, right? Like recognize one-on-one coverage with the best fucking receiver in college football and threw him a dot. Just boop, dime down the field, ball game over. I'm Will Howard. Thank you very much. That was impressive. So if we want to move him up, Jackson Dart is interesting. Mm-hmm. Shout out DB, Barry's grades. Shout out to some of the analytics community. Very, very good analytical profile. He's going to be an interesting one to watch to see if I can come up. I'm pretty good on Quinn Ewers. Fucking no to Dylan Gabriel. I'm not doing this shit. I'm not. I know he was 5'10 and 3/4 or whatever or 5'10 and a quarter or whatever the fuck it was. He's a tiny kind of athletic quarterback that just played in Oregon system. I'm good. All right. You guys got me on Bo Nix. You're not going to fucking get me on Dylan Gabriel. Hard pass. And then everybody else. I mean, at the next best man, I was getting excited about that Canadian kid. Starts with an R. I don't even know what the fuck his last name is.
Taylor Exlema.
Whatever the fuck it is, man. That's where the quarterback class is. All right. So it's Shadour, it's Cam Ward, or it's Cam Ward, Shadour for me. Milroe's interesting. The rest of them, I don't know. Day two dudes, maybe. Landing spot, would have to dive into that. But if we're talking pre-NFL draft right now, Matty, there's only two fuck quarterbacks I'd even think about taking in a rookie draft in the first round. And I'm not touching anybody else.
I might even do you one better. There's only two quarterbacks I'm taking in the first 2.5 rounds. Because we'll talk about in a second, there's a position in this class that I'll just keep going back to that well and just try to see what I can make hay of it later. The quarterback class, you know, last year we saw the biggest gap in picks between when it was Penix and then Nix, and then we waited a long time for Spencer Rattler. I don't know if it's going to be that long because teams will take chances. But if you're talking about just strictly objective evaluation, unless some of these quarterbacks start to pop in major ways, there's going to be a sizable gap. We could see two quarterbacks off the board in the first 6 or 7 picks, and then not another one until round 4.
Yep. And with that gap, too, like we never know what's really going to happen, man. I go back to the 22 class. You know, we thought, yo, man, the NFL's so quarterback needy. They're definitely going to have to, like, take some of these guys that even that were questionable about Sam Howell and Malik Willis. Like, they're definitely going to be first-round guys. Ain't nobody took that shit until Kenny Pickett went. And we're like, oh, that's it? That's all we get? Kenny Pickett in the 20s? We could also be heading for a scenario like that. I just want people to kind of keep that in mind. I'm not saying it's going to happen, because it kind of feels like Shadour is definitely a lock for a lot of NFL teams.
Yeah.
But the rumblings are out there about a lot of GMs being like, this class is not good, and I don't see anybody with the day one grade. So the NFL could tell them all to fuck off, too. Like, we just don't care. The best will take you in the second round. Right? We could not have any first-round quarterbacks. I think we'll get one. If I was a betting man, I'd put money on 2.
Yeah.
But... I think you're probably right, Maddie. We might not see another one until fucking day 3. That's could right. be a possibility. NFL teams just don't care.
Especially now with the vets that seem like they're going to shake loose, right? Like Sam Darnold's going to be out there. Kirk Cousins, I know he's a corpse, but
Fields?
If you fancy yourself like you might be able to sniff competition, you're probably going to take Kirk Cousins over everyone in this class other than the top 2.
I mean, we shit on Danny Dimes all the time. But compared to, like, this quarterback class coming out, if I was an NFL team, I'd throw just a few mil at Dimes. You know, like, fuck it. Get me to 26, buddy. That's all I need.
Listen, Danny Dimes or Will Howard, it's...
Dimes.
Kind of the same, right? I mean, I'm really getting as psycho in my brain saying, like, if I was an NFL GM and the draft grade on the quarterback 5 or 6 in this class was round 4... give me the small school lineman that I could develop and let me go ahead and get Sam Howell for peanuts.
Yep.
I want him on my roster.
No, why not?
You know, it's just, it's that bleak after the top 2. And I think, you know, if there was more uncertainty with where these kids were going to be taken, these quarterbacks, I think we'd be saying Ward and nothing else. But I think with the name, with the profile, we could pretty much lock in 2 guys going in round 1, which of course has to pique our interest in super flex leagues.
True. All right, let's move on to the cream of the crop of this class. And this I can say is one of the better ones I think I've seen in Dynasty. We thought the 2023 class was supposed to be this. It wasn't, but I think this one's going to be the one. But the biggest problem is it's the running back position, Matty. Now, we just had a resurgence of running backs winning people fantasy leagues left and right. Saquon Barkley and Devon Achan and Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs and Derrick Henry and Kyron Williams. The list goes on and on of all these dope-ass running backs that helped us win championships this last year. But leading up to it, most of the running backs were, ooh, poo-poo, right? Running backs get injured and all they do is ruin your fantasy season. So we're going this zero RB approach, man. Fuck them running backs. We ain't drafting any of them. I wonder if there's a little bit of a change of the guard, though. The running backs in this class are fucking phenomenal. Now, there is no Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs or Saquon Barkley level talent. Let me be very frank. That's not hot takey either. I will go to my grave saying it. Ashton Jeanty is very, very, very good. He's just not those dudes. He's just not those dudes. The rest of them, the rest of the running backs, when I say Ashton GT is very good, are also very good. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe only one very instead of two very goods, right? But they're still very good too. Ashton GT, for me, RB1, I think after watching the film, there's no question about that one. We did that one. I was our first film session, and I was the biggest GT detractor. Yeah, small school,
yeah,
Boise State. Yeah, he was the whole offense. Like, okay, he doesn't got the long speed, doesn't wow you. He wowed the fuck out of me watching that film. Just an absolutely violent runner who refuses to go down, and if you do give him space, he may not have that 4.3 speed. He's got good enough speed to fucking house one on you. Like, good enough. I would say he's probably going to come in mid 4.4s, maybe low 4.5s at worst. That's just kind of his impression from on the tape. But God, is he tough to bring down. You better bring your fucking lunch when you go to tackle Ashton GT. Even at the NFL level, he is that good. The only question I have about this year is, for whatever reason, this coaching staff and their infinite wisdom took somebody that we assumed was a very good receiving back and marginalized the shit out of him in the passing game. And they let some freshman take over all the third down work, and Ashton GT was just out there sporadically. I think that's malpractice. Yes. I think that was malpractice. You should never take that guy off the field unless he was limping and he was tapping his head like, I need a blow. I need the Gatorade. Give me something. Give me an oxygen mask. Other than that, he should not be off the fucking field ever. But in their infinite wisdom, they're like, you know, we'll let a freshman do it. Fuck you, GT. We know you're really good at it, but why don't you take a break? He is phenomenal. Matty, is there any qualms with him being RB1 for you?
No, he's definitely RB1 for me. His 40 time, I really hope he runs, because it's going to make such a difference for me. Because on film, and I wonder if you got this too, because I wasn't there when you guys were live, but I definitely went back and watched. He reminds me of UCLA Maurice Jones-Drew. The way he runs, the compact, he's got the BMI, he's over 200 pounds, sick after contact. Number one running back in the class, over 5 yards per attempt after contact this season. But Maurice Jones-Drew ran a 4.39. You know, he broke 4.4. And if Ginty hits that 4.44, and we know, you know, they maybe juices it up. The combines become a track thing where he comes away, he doesn't weigh in because he slimmed down to call it like 2.205, and he's looking to run 4.42. Still not 4.39, definitely not 4.36 that Jahmyr Gibbs had. So he is below the Gibbs, Bijan. I do agree with that, but he's going to get the round one draft capital. He's definitely the bell of the ball, apple of my eye for this class.
I'd be hard pressed. I don't know. Sometimes when those props come out for the 40 times or whatever, they're so fucking off.
They're so fucking.
They're like free square money. Yeah,
free square money, dude.
Free square money. I would say, like, a very good combine. If he runs anywhere in the low 4.4s, that's a big dub. Just lock it in, stamp it, solidify. Now, he could come out and press. I can't see him getting in the 4.3s. He just doesn't look like that on film. Now, he's got some burst, and he's got some decent long speed. But if I had to put money on it, I'd say he's like a 4.48. All right, we're going to thread the needle, which is still very, very fine for what he does. But he does kind of have that Maurice Jones-Drew build. I'll say this, he's much better with his bowling ball techniques than MJD was, right? Like, he is even harder to bring down than Maurice Jones-Drew was. And I was I'm really dating myself here, man. One of my first ever rookies I ever took in a keeper league, because we got to keep him for fucking 3 years, was Maurice Jones-Drew, when nobody else knew about him when he was a rookie. So that was one of my first rookie loves of all time.
Dude, now, I gotta say this, we kind of knew we were boys the day we kind of worked together, but we've become actual boys. That just might be made it locked in even more. Maurice Jones-Drew was literally my first ever keeper in fantasy football.
Let's go, man. Yeah.
No bullshit.
I loved him, man. I loved him coming out of UCLA. Nobody ever saw him, especially back then. We definitely didn't watch UCLA games out on the West Coast, you know, unless you're a real degenerate staying up till like midnight. But Maurice Jones-Drew was fun, and that was big thanks to the college football game. We're playing game with him. Yeah. And all of a sudden you see, like, who's this 99 little short running back out of
UCLA? He was shorter. That's what made it fun, yeah.
Can't even see him behind the offensive line. So fun. RB2 for me. We might have a little discrepancy here. I follow what you throw down in the Discord, talking with the Savage tier. But RB2 for me, Caleb Johnson. My love out of Iowa. Very good. I will say this. Once upon a time, I tried to spout off that maybe Caleb Johnson's RB1 in this class. I can put that to bed. As a guy who's watched Chinty tape and has watched every goddamn Iowa game with my eyes glued open, forced to watch this offense at times. Caleb Johnson's very good. He's just not Ashton GT. Again, a bigger running back. He is not short in stature. He is every bit of 6 foot. He is every bit of 225 pounds plus. And I would say this, long speed, him and Ashton GT, probably about the same, except for Caleb Johnson's got about 15 pounds on the man and a couple inches. Caleb Johnson, pretty good contact balance. You'd like to see a little bit better. There were times this year at Iowa that he runs a little bit too upright and he just go down a little bit too easy. But he also has that ability. He has elite vision, which is something that I cherish, especially after having to suffer through watching Trey Benson last year run into the back of his offensive lineman over and over again. Caleb Johnson does not suffer from that. He is a plus pass catcher as well. And he is very good at just finding that seam, making that one cut, and then being gone. The best part about Caleb Johnson to me is the fact we had multiple games with Cade McNamara or whoever the fuck we threw back there at quarterback throwing for 50 or 60 yards total in a fucking game. Everybody in the entire world knew that Caleb Johnson was going to get the football because he was our entire offense, and they still could not stop the man. There was multiple games Caleb Johnson won that fucking game by himself. The Minnesota game, the Wisconsin game come to mind. Absolute fucking unit. So Caleb Johnson, RB2 for me. And Maddie, you can go ahead with your RB2 because I know it differs a little bit. This guy is also very good too. So it's like a 2A, 2B for me.
This class, it's truly unreal because I'm looking at my ranks right now. My running back 2 all the way down to my running back 9, they could all volley. And right now, Caleb Johnson's firmly inside my top 5. My number 2 is Omarion Hampton. For a lot of the reasons why I like Caleb Johnson's, why I like Omarion Hampton. What I did like out of Hampton this year, without a quarterback, without a true, really good UNC offense, he was able to shoulder a little bit more of the pass catching, 38 receptions this year. But this guy is just another brick shit house running back with a power runner, violent runner. And when I watch him, I can't help but see DeMarco Murray. Similar stature, similar running upright, kind of upright runner, just tough runner. I don't know if he's going to be in the low 4.4s, though. That's kind of the difference between the kind of style comp. Does he get the ceiling potential like Murray? I think he might get better draft capital, which would be good for us in fantasy, help us kind of parse through it, but good runner. He's going to be good at the NFL. He's got the size. I don't see him being a three down back, but I do see him having the capabilities, and with injuries and in certain games, he'll get maybe 4 targets, 5 targets. I don't see him, you know, getting that Bijan like design through him. But again, in this class, given the state of running back in the NFL, we're looking at a lot of good teams kind of looking at running back. And I'm kind of diverging here from the prospect and kind of to the situation and kind of the strategy of the running back class. But I think after that, you know, the NFC Championship game, Washington would be fucking stupid to not kind of aggressively take one of these backs. Mm. Brian Robinson is what he is. Eckler is just not capable of doing it. And they had to sit front row, watch Saquon Barkley just drop trowel on their Super Bowl hopes. And then the Cowboys, of course. I wouldn't be too shocked if Vegas decides to go running back early with the insertion of Pete Carroll. There's just a lot of situations with good or to at least league average offensive lines. And a guy like Hampton, is if he gets on one of those teams, I think he could be a perennial top 10 running back weekly, given his profile.
And think about all these teams at the top right now. We're gonna kind of throw them out for, you know, taking a running back in the top five or whatever it is. But think about early day two, you know, early second round picks, right? Or that's trade backs, et cetera. You know? Yep. A lot of these teams, like, we look at Cleveland and go, oh, they need so much help and they need the quarterback. What if they go quarterback in round one, and then in round two they're like, you know, Nick Chubb, we thank you, but you've also had a couple devastating knee injuries. You're just not in anymore. Yeah. Jerome Ford couldn't handle the workload, and we want to get back to taking the pressure off whatever rookie quarterback we bring in, or, you know, even if it's Deshaun Watson again and they go somewhere else. Like, we need to get him some help. We need to be able to run the football to take the pressure off him. So Cleveland could be a spot. I would benefit if, it would be a benefit if Stefanski could draw up some nice zone running plays for Caleb Johnson or Marion Hampton, even right in Cleveland. I would still get behind that landing spot. There's just a handful of teams that you look at and you go like, nah, probably not happening, right? Like, we're probably not drafting anybody to the Jets. But you never know. They draft like 8 running backs every year, apparently.
So. Seattle, they're probably not going to take it back.
Chicago definitely could use one. New Orleans, I don't know if the Kendre Miller things worked out the way that they intended.
Right? The regime always opens
up. Alvin Kamara could be around forever.
That's right.
Even a team like Jacksonville could be in the mix, right? Travis Etienne has been very underwhelming, and fucking Tanks Bigsby has had like all the opportunity in the world and has had moments and then somehow still takes a back seat down the stretch, right, and you don't know why. So there's a lot of interesting landing spots, especially if you start looking in the second round. I don't know if we'll get 2 running backs in the first round. I'm pretty sure GT's going.
Yeah.
I would like if we got an Amarian Hampton or a Caleb Johnson, because that would really solidify which one of those is going to be 2A and 2B. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I'm going to default to draft capital here and just go with the first round guy. It'd make it so much easier for me, because kind of like we talked about, I think this is a big tier for me. It's Ginty, then it's Caleb, then it's Amarian Hampton for me. That's not to say the rest of the running backs are bad. You have a lot of really interesting names that are very good and can be very good in their own right. And in 4 to 5 years, you'd be like, wow, this is the best guy out of the class. And I wouldn't be shocked. Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins are interesting. Yep. Ollie Gordon, 233-pound Ollie Gordon now.
And he carries it well. Reports from Mobile is slender, thick.
Slender, which means thick.
Power forward. He's going to be able to carry it well. And I know it's a lazy comp, but I think it's a good one. You know, Dynasty Darling right now, Chuba Hubbard, had almost the exact same career path. Baller junior season, tough senior season. But he's good. He's good, man. He's a good player.
He's good. On the smaller side, one of the smaller running backs, which is hard to find in this class because there's a lot of thick, girthy boys in this one.
Dude.
You know, even Travion Henderson is probably 210, 215 at the end of the day. I know they listed him at like 205. He's thicker than that. He's thicker than that. Boy's got some thighs
for
on
sure.
Him. Dylan Sampson, probably one of the only smaller backs. But what he brings to the table? Elite speed. Elite speed and quickness. Right? It's funny how Tennessee just keeps churning these guys out, right? Jalen Wright last year, now Dylan Sampson this year. You thought it couldn't get better than Jalen Wright? I'm here to tell you Dylan Sampson is better than Jalen Wright. He's better. Yeah. I was more impressed with him. He can move side to side. Jalen Wright, sometimes. Sometimes he can move side to side. Dylan Sampson's interesting. Devin Neal, I saw at the weigh-ins, 226 pounds. Devin Neal, that's fucking impressive, man. Devin Neal is a thick boy. Also kind of reminds me of that Maurice Jones-Drew build, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know they listed him at 5'11", but I'm pretty sure he measured in at like 5'9", which just, it gets my heartstrings going anytime you see somebody who's like 5'10 or below and they're like 220, 225. I'm like, that's my kind of running back, right?
Brother, I'll tell you this. These boys use their Tinder height on their program guides.
Yes, they did.
Because I've been, you know, I'm building my rookie Bible here, and I used all the college height and weights, and now when they're weighing in at these all-star events, they're all an inch. Brother, some of them are 2 inches shorter than they were in the guide.
Mm-hmm. everybody's getting that Rashad Bateman treatment. Remember when he was 6'3 for a while? That was fun. But just to throw that out there, man, on NFLDraftBuzz.com, right, Taj Brooks, who I like, another thick boy,
yes,
is RB10 in this class. You know, Cam Scatterbowl, a lot of people's darling down there as well. Ollie Gordon at 17, Matt. 17, that's how low he is. Rocket Sanders is kind of interesting, another big back who's had some production in the past and then kind of tailed off and then kind of came back a little bit last year. DJ Giddens is another interesting one. Corey Kiner and Kyle Monogany. I always fuck his name up. The Rutgers kid. Yeah, he's an interesting one. And Trevor Etienne all the way down at 23. The depth of this running back group is ridiculous. Now, not everyone's going to get, you know, day one, day two draft capital. You know, not everyone's going to be an early fourth round pick where we stood. There's going to be a lot of fifth rounders and stuff in here. But for your rookie draft, for dynasty purposes, that does make it very interesting because you can find some fucking gems with these later picks. Like, we used to treat fourth and fifth rounders like, who gives a fuck? Right? Yeah. Like, who gives a shit? I will say this. In a weaker class, because it's not carried by quarterbacks, and we'll get to the wide receivers here in a minute, and it's not really carried by wide receivers. It is carried by running backs. Having those fourth and fifth round fucking picks this year is going to be fun because you get to throw all the darts that you want at a wall, and I'm guaranteeing there's going to be somebody who's going to hit. Like, we've watched Elijah Mitchell come out of nowhere. We've watched a James Robinson come out of nowhere. We watched Kyren Williams for the last couple years carry people who was on the fucking waiver wire. The year that he broke out.
Yeah.
You're going to want these picks. So just something to keep in mind from my dynasty perspective, while the first round may seem very, make you kind of flaccid after last year, and the second round, by all accounts, goes, I really feel like I'm just throwing shit at a wall and see what it sticks. What I really want is when I inevitably trade back in the first round or trade out till 2026 or 2027, buddy, if you got a couple fourths laying on your team, give me them. You got a fifth, give me them. Just toss them in. You don't even want them, right? Like, just fucking throw them to me. Give them to me for free. Toss them in. Because I'm going to want to take some shots on some of these fifth and sixth and seventh round running backs that are going to go in the NFL draft because they are fucking talented. And if they get in the right scheme and the right situation, we could be looking at some dudes who are starting, you know, in 2025, and you're like, damn, can you believe this guy fell to the sixth round of the NFL draft, and I got him with the 508 in my rookie draft? What a fucking steal. That's where I want to be.
For me, with the running backs, I'm approaching it the same way I did last year, except I'm just going to be a little more aggressive. I'm going to either push up or stock up. I either want to push up to make sure I can get Ginty, get Hampton, get Caleb Johnson, or I just want to I just want volume. I don't want to sit here and pretend that I can pick which running back is going to pop. Last year, I did the same thing. I stocked up, wanted to just get the volume, pick them all late. And then I got a little antsy and moved up a few moments and thought I could pick who was going to hit. Guess who I didn't select when I moved up? Bucky or Tyrann Tracy. I was wrong on moving up. I should have stayed back, continuously grabbed those fourth, those fifths, those thirds, and just get them all and just figure out where they land, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can tell you with confidence that Taj Brooks will be outperformed by Damian Martinez or Cam Scatterbow is discernibly going to be more productive at the NFL 11 than even Donovan Edwards.
Yeah.
Either want to push up and get the studs, or I want to stock up and just take them all.
I like that motto, man. Push up or stock up. Let's go. Push up or stock up. And for two stocky dudes, I think we're going to end up on the stock up.
Yeah, we would go to the gym. It would be good stocking by the expo, I think.
I can do a few push-ups, you know. Dude. I'm up to like 17 consecutive before I fat wears out.
Yeah, but I bet you can move some plates on that bench, baby.
Yeah, well I got bitch tits. They're still perky, though. Still perky. You know what
still
I mean?
Still look at you.
All right, wide receiver class. Again, I don't want to, you know, put the cart before the horse, but this class of wide receivers is underwhelming as fuck. It might even be worse than the quarterbacks, which is saying something, Maddie. We put the Tet film on. By all accounts, everybody's wide receiver one. You know, my man Fizz is out here like mid-season when he realized Dallas was going to suck and be terrible. You know, tank for Tet. Tank for Tet.
Yeah.
We put that film on a couple weeks ago. I wasn't impressed. Now, I'm not saying he's terrible. He still could have a very good NFL career. Kids get better. Kids get better and they learn how and they surprise, and we miss this shit all the time. I'm just saying, when I put his film on, instead of being like, damn, this dude's like a, you know, top 10 lock, top 5 lock, like he's on the level of, you know, Marv or Neighbors, he's not even on the fucking level of Ladd McConkey. Like he wouldn't even, Maddie, he might not even, I'm not even going to say might not. I'm going to be frank here. His film wasn't even as impressive as when I watched Keon Coleman last year. It wasn't even that impressive. It was like, maybe this guy gets drafted in the first round in like the 20s. That's kind of my thought leaving. Now, could he get better and surprise us? For sure. For sure. You know, JSN ended up in the 20s, right? And he turned out just fine.
Hey, that whole group was 20, 21, 22, whatever it was.
Jordan Addison, right? Like this stuff can happen. You know, 20s is not a death sentence. Here's the problem. I went from a guy who I was thinking was maybe this is Drake London 2.0, right? Maybe this is new and improved Drake London, to walking away from it going, kind of reminds me of Treylon Burks.
Ooh, don't say that, Mike.
I'm serious. Oh, I'm dead ass.
That's a poison pill for me.
I have very, very legitimate concerns about, can he win on the outside versus NFL corners? He plays a lot from the slot, and when he did play on the outside, he had moments where he could dominate subpar competition, like if they're really bad, or he could get an elite guy every now and then. But for the most part, I'm watching like Utah corners that I didn't even know who the fuck they were, put him in a car seat and strap him in. You know, a dude that's 6'5", 215, and you got a little 5'11 corner out there treating you like you're a toddler. That wasn't good for my evaluation of Tet McMillan. So, and this is a lot of people's consensus wide receiver one. I'll say this. He is not my wide receiver one consensus after that film, but I have no idea who the hell I really put above him, right? I really don't, which is a terrifying thing. I want to put Luther Burden above him. I do, but I haven't seen the film, and he does have some concerns, especially why the production fell off so much this year from the year before. So until I actually get to the Luther Burden film and see it, right now, Tet's wide receiver one, and let me caveat this for everybody out there. If you told me today Travis Hunter said, I'm playing wide receiver full-time, he's wide receiver one, no question, and he should be a top five pick just as a wide receiver. He is that fucking good when we watch the film. But because that question mark still remains about his usage in the NFL and this cornerback, wide receiver thing, I'm not even really going to put him on the list. Now, to say this, Maddie, if we did a rookie draft today, a real one with money on the line, I'm probably still going to take Travis Hunter in the top five of my dynasty rookie draft picks, just on the hope that I'm right that he decides to play wide receiver full time. But it's a risk. Like I could be lighting a pick on fire for all I care. But on the plus note, with the class kind of being so meh, lighting a pick on fire with the potential of it might not be the worst thing, because there's going to be people who end up taking, for example, Tet McMillan with the 3rd overall pick. And, you know, you get like a fancy Quentin Johnston, which wouldn't be funny.
Oh, God, you use two names, Burke and Johnston.
So that's also going to be like lighting a pick on fire. So I'm willing to risk it.
Made my proverbial vagina dry. Oh, God.
Your mangina is
my proverbial mangina. My old Greg mangina is bone dry.
Oh, my old Greg. Oh, no. All right, who you got as wide receiver one or at the top, Maddie?
So, Evie, Eric, Vanek, Coop, Troop, and myself were on Dynasty Evaluation. Big shout out to John and JT, hosts of that show. Awesome guys. JT's a big Missouri guy, and he was singing. He was basically telling us that the reason for Burden's big drop-off was injuries. He was plagued with a bunch of injuries. He came down with a kind of nasty sickness. Brady Cook was dealing with a whole bunch of elbow issues or arm issues and wasn't able to throw the ball downfield. So I am leaving the door open for Burden to take the mantle for my wide receiver one. He's my wide receiver two as of right now. Tet is my de facto wide receiver one. But I will say this. You can miss me with the New England Patriots taking Tet at 4.
Please no.
You Please can God, no. miss me with that shite. It ain't happening. He's not that good. Only other person I am leaving the door open for is the guy you just mentioned, Travis Hunter. If Travis Hunter said tomorrow, or by the time you listen to this, guys, I understand that the NFL is not for a two-way athlete. I decided I want to be a wide receiver at the next level. I would go as far to say he is my 101 in Superflex rookie drafts.
You sound like a crazy man. That is 1,000% true. He would also be my 101 in Superflex drafts, and this is coming from the guy who's the quarterback whore.
Right. You are
Quarterbacks run the world. Quarterback whore. I would take a wide receiver 101 in a rookie draft.
And you just don't like putting these things out there, but when you feel it with confidence, you just got to bite the bullet and say it. My man looks like Justin Jefferson. Mm. The way he wins, the way he's aggressive at catching the ball, the way he's good with the ball in his hands, the dog. He reminds me of Justin Jefferson, and I hope for fantasy purposes he says screw this two-way thing, because I don't know. I don't know where he's going to find a path to success. As of right now, he's my wide receiver 5 because I don't know what he's going to do. He won't be on any of my teams if he does the two-way thing. Someone could benefit from the player, and maybe he decides to be a wide receiver only in year 2 and year 3 and they benefit, but I'm just not going to use the requisite 107, 106, whatever it's going to cost me for Travis Hunter if he's going to do the two-way thing, and the team that takes him is going to allow him to do that. But if he just plays wide receiver, Mike, he is so fucking good at wide receiver. And a big reason, I think, why the production, the surface stats were there for Shador.
If
you want to pepper it to that man, yes, you will have success.
I got to give credit to our band Xbox, too. You know, Johnny Tsunami in the Discord. Shout he out. Is kind of a – I'm not going to call him – I don't want to – don't want to put words in his mouth or give him a bad rep, but he was a little bit of a Travis Hunter hater or detractor, especially when it came to the Heisman. Oh, he's just getting it because of snaps. We put on that film session, and I heard a lot of words like, wow, or okay, yeah, Travis. Oh, wow, check this one out. Like, there was a lot of that. I was trying to pull some advanced data from PFF as Travis Hunter as a wide receiver for him. So I'm looking at two monitors. I'm trying to pay attention. I don't know how many times he stopped it and was like, Mike, you got to see this. Go back to this. Watch this. Like, I think we made a fan from a little bit of a detractor. So Travis Hunter can play wide receiver, and he can play it really, really, really well. If you want to give like a comp on it, Justin Jefferson was a pretty good one. He is just so fucking bursty. The yes, ball skills are elite. The hands are fucking phenomenal. The athleticism, I think, is what's nuts. Like, he has a burst that is unheard of. I fully expect him, if he decides to run at the combine, which, yeah, I want to see a show, I think he'd be a 4.3 guy. He's got that acceleration, and his long speed looks just fine. Dynamic after the catch. His route tree is better than people give him credit for. His route running ability, especially the hitch. The hitch is so fucking stupid. It's so stupid. I've never seen dudes would be 7-8 yards off of him, right? Giving him a cushion, protecting against the deep ball. He run a hitch and somehow make that into 12 yards of separation. Like, these guys are still bailing. Like, they're in like the fifth step bailing, and Travis Hunter's been stopped and stationary waiting for the ball for like 2 seconds. It's nuts. It's fucking nuts. So Travis Hunter for me, I think right now with the uncertainty, I'll put him at 3 because Tet deserves to be above him if we got the certainty of, you know, him playing wide receiver. Right. And I still got hope for Luther Burden. I like the little JT nugget that you dropped in there. Would explain the fall off. I think Luther Burden, a lot of people kind of comped him to Debo. We got to stop doing this shit. He's not Debo, but he does have a lot of versatility. You can get him the ball in the running game. He does have very, very good quickness as well off the line. So I'm interested to watch what his tape is. Some of the other ones, Emeka Ebuka, we thought maybe was coming out last year. We were going to rank him pretty high. If he did, he would have been pretty up there in the class. A little bit of a production dip, and then, you know, the Jeremiah Smith thing happened. You know, probably the greatest wide receiver prospect we've ever seen just steps on the field at 18 years old and starts shitting on people left and right. That's pretty awesome to see. So it kind of sucks for Ebuka because he's going to get overshadowed again. He's like, fuck, yeah, man. He was like, I just got rid of Marv. I got rid of JSN. Yeah. Now this fucking kid comes along. It's supposed to be my year. God damn it. It's Brucey's time to shine.
A 7 looking like a 3 next to a dime piece. That was a Mecca last year, unfortunately.
But he is pretty interesting, too. My comp for him, it's a lazy one because it's the same fucking school, man. He reminds me a lot of Chris Olave. Just real solid, a little faster than you think. Boom. Good route technician. Good with the ball in his hands. So Emeka Ogbuka is an interesting one. Isaiah Bond, we're kind of going to be all over the place on him when he comes out, or, you know, when you actually see him. Because this is the dude who also looks like a lot like the guy that was there last year, Xavier Worthy. He's got a lot of that to his game, all the way down to some of the concentration drops, all the way down to. I don't know if he's quite as good as a route runner, but he's definitely bursty as shit. Matthew Golden's going to get pushed up. Xavier Restrepo, I did see the Senior Bowl reports, built like a running back, has trouble with separation issues. Not something you want to see from a wide receiver that's 5'9 and, you know, sub 200 pounds. Yeah. And white.
Big boy, 32 years old also.
Jesus Christ. Outside of that, man, I'm trying to get excited for Jaden Higgins. He's kind of an interesting one. He's definitely got the size. I think he's got the speed, but the problem is he went to Iowa State, and I'm a Hawkeye guy. So I do kind of have an interest, though, in what Jaden Higgins does. The rest of them, on the other hand, I know Tez is out there killing the Senior Bowl, but the guy weighs 150 pounds.
He was built to kill the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Unless you're Tank Dell, man. Like, absolutely just destroying people. But shout out to Thor, by the way, who put out the tweet today that, you know, there is no Ladd McConkey. There is no fucking Tank Dell here. Just absolutely embarrassing DBs and one-on-ones. So it's right. A wide open field. If you're Tez Johnson and you're built like that and you're not making Thor's list of, you know, Ladd McConkey or Tank Dell absolutely destroying DBs and making them look silly, I'm probably good, man. No thanks. Right. No thanks.
Thinking back on it too, Ladd was destroying Quinion. He was destroying. I know, like, at the time we weren't hyping him, but Cam Hart ended up being a damn good corner for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. There was a number of guys, and he was killing it. And I don't think the quarterback room is as good this year as it is last year down in Mobile.
Some other wide receivers that are kind of interesting. Torrey Horton has always been a favorite of mine. Season got cut short to injury, which sucked. The production, though, from the year before, absolutely amazing. Kyron Lacy's kind of always been I've always been a fan of his, but just in general, man, I didn't even mention Trey Harris. I'd be interested to watch some Trey Harris film when we watch Jackson Dart, kind of see if I can get some interest there, because that's another name who's kind of been at the top of people's list. There is some hope from the wide receivers, but just in general, it's kind of underwhelming. It's a lot like the quarterbacks for me. Like, it's just, and especially when we talk NFL draft capital, first round guys, locks. Top 50 picks, locks for me to be interested. You start going outside the top 50 picks as a wide receiver in the NFL draft, the uphill battle to fantasy relevance just because of how deep the wide receiver position already is in your dynasty leagues, not a good feeling, man. Not a real good feeling. Like, you want to get really flaccid, start talking about, like, third and fourth round wide receivers and, you know, well, we got this guy. Yeah, but I'll give you 75 others that did absolutely dick all, right? As a Patriots fan, you can even know, sometimes even if you go in the top 50, no one gives a shit, you know? How's Tyquan Thornton working out for you guys? Like,
I don't think he's in the NFL anymore.
Unfortunately, like, this shit happens. All right, and then quickly, a position that nobody really cares about, but it is kind of interesting, might be pretty deep, we don't really know. Maddie, tight ends. And I'll let you start, man. Who's your tight end one? Is it your boy? Is it your guy?
It's my boy, Harold Fannin Jr. It's Harold Fannin Jr. And where it starts, you know, he's down in Mobile. By all accounts, flashed in a big way in day one. 238 pounds is where I'm going to start. Yes. That at least puts him in the Evan Engram archetype. You know, puts him in that type of range.
He could be Sammy Ballgame too. You know, a little Sam LaPorta.
He's not that. Yeah, he's not far off from the 6'3", 6'4", 245.
So, he's at least not 6'2", or 6'1". He's not fucking Chigakwonkwo.
He's right. He's not too short. He's not 220 pounds looking like a running back. Now, he's probably the most team dependent in terms of landing spot. But I'm just going to take a bet on a guy who averaged 26 fantasy points last year on the collegiate level. And I know it was at Bowling Green. I get that. But if you look at the schedule, there was two games in which Bowling Green took on big-time programs, Texas A&M and Penn State. In both of those games, he went off. Over 100 yards in both, a touchdown in both, had seven in one, I believe, and 11 in the other. So he did play up when the competition was at its best. Best yards per route run in the class, fourth highest yards per reception. And what really sticks out, and I understand this is the stat that will accumulate against weaker competition, but Mike, 873 yards after catch. We love That's our good. Tight ends to be able to rumble after they get the ball. I think if with the right landing spot on a team that can really exploit, we're looking at a Jonnu Smith from this year. So the production, the way he was used in Miami, if a team with that type of vision for Harold Fannin, he's going to be electric at the next level, and I'm going to bet on it. So he is my first tight end. I will say this, I won't give it away just yet, but the top three is in a tier of itself. Those are the three guys that will fluctuate depending on the process. But as of right now, Fannin's my number one.
So I've had a rough year with this prediction for a while, but I'm right fucking back on the trade, man. Tight end one of this class, Luke Lachey out of Iowa. You're not even going to see him in the top 10 in a lot of people's ranks. But Luke Lachey went down to the Shrine Bowl and absolutely put on a fucking show. And now people may ask, where was this all year at Iowa? And there's one thing I want to point out, and I brought this up with Adam months ago, and we've got great data on this. Right? From our own eyes, our own perception. Luke Lachey suffered a fractured ankle on a hip drop tackle the year before. Now, we've watched. Tony Pollard took almost an entire full season. You remember at the end of his Dallas Cowboys career, finally started to look like himself. Mark Andrews, fellow tight end, also suffered that. It took a long time for Mark Andrews to come back this year to actually look like Mark Andrews. Remember when it was the Isaiah Likely show and Mark Andrews is toast and we'll trade him for any third. All of a sudden, Mark Andrews started to produce, especially towards the end of the year. Luke Lachey in that same boat. 6'6", 250, just went down there and lit up the Shrine Bowl. And if you go look at the production from 2 years ago before he got injured, he was the entirety of the Iowa offense. Absolutely fucking gifted route runner, a very willing blocker, does have the requisite size, athleticism is going to be fine. I would imagine he's going to run somewhere in the 4.6s, very, very low 4.7s at worst. Might even surprise you and go out and run a 4.5 because the guy does have some burst. Great fucking ball skills, good route runner. He has everything that you want. And of course, it's tight end you, baby. Like, I give you nothing but gems. I gave you Sam Laporta. Come back to the well, people, all right? Luke Lachey, tight end one, not fucking close. Welcome back to the club. I can say that with my fucking chest now. Thank you, Luke, for going out and showing the people at the Shrine Bowl that you're that dude. I just wish you could have done it at the Senior Bowl, because like Jim Nagy said, apparently the Shrine Bowl doesn't matter. If he's doing this at the fucking Senior Bowl, everybody's losing their fucking minds. But he did it at the Shrine Bowl, which is a little bit underreported. But Luke Lachey, tight end one for me. Harold Fannin Jr., I do like him. He's very interesting. I do have him, though, as tight end four. Because at tight end two, Colston Loveland, a lot like Luke Lachey. Also a big fucking dynamic fucking receiver. Also most of, if not all of, Michigan's offense, especially this past year. Colston Loveland is that dude. And then tight end three, I'm warming up to him, man. I shit on him for the longest time. But it's another fucking Big Ten guy, Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren does kind of just look like fucking Gronk, just reincarnated. Yeah. He's kind of fun. They're going to line him up at Wildcat quarterback. It was fucking nuts with some of the shit that he did. You ask about the production and why it took him so long. Penn State's just been churning out fucking just athlete after athlete at the tight end position for a while. You know, Pat Freiermuth, Theo Johnson, Brenton Strange, when Evan Ingram's been out, has been a godsend and looks amazing. Tyler Warren had to wait his turn. But when he got his fucking turn, he did not disappoint. So the Big Ten tight ends are going to lead the way for me. Call me a homer or whatever. And then I got Harold Fannin. After that, there's a lot of interesting guys. Elijah Arroyo is having a very, very good Senior Bowl practice week so far. Looks almost uncoverable at the tight end position. Another guy who's, you know, 6'4", 240, 245, another really big body, highly athletic tight end. He was one of those C2C darlings for me for the longest time, and the production never really got there until this past year. And as soon as they got Cam Ward, Elijah Arroyo kind of took off. Aronde Gadsden is going to be a really interesting one. Like, yep. If you want a Kyle Pitts 2.0, it's kind of this dude, ain't it? It's Aronde Gadsden, where you're like, is he really a tight end? They didn't even really use him like a tight end. Yeah. Like, he's just kind of in the mix, but definitely a plus athlete, kind of in that Kyle Pitts mode, so he'll be interesting. The rest of them, a lot of good names, a lot of big names. Gunnar Helm, Mason Taylor. You got Terrence Ferguson, who's kind of an interesting one out of Oregon. I think he's slower than dog shit, though. So I'm probably good on him. I don't know if the RAS score, which is going to be real good for him, but that's going to mean a lot. But tight end position.
Does RAS score mean anything for tight end? They're all just ridiculous.
Come on, man.
It's just like, who gives a shit about the RAS score at tight end? Because they're all freaks.
Well, not all of them. Some of them, like, we can just go, like, you're terrible.
Yeah, right. So we can just turn the terrible ones. But if you're half worth a half a pound of dog shit at the tight end position, you got a ridiculous RAS score. I mean,
I use RAS score like
Cunts, Mr. Cunts.
That guy
didn't even sniff the snap, Cunts. And he broke the meter.
Man, he said Cunts. Oh, you're killing me. No, but I kind of treat it like that line from Major League, you know? Like they're going through the roster, and this guy here's dead. Well, cross him off then. That's how I use RAS, all right?
Yeah.
This guy's got a terrible RAS. Yeah. Well, cross him off then. Guy here is dead. So yes, that's how I view RAS for tight ends, right? It's not the end all be all. It is the end all.
It could be the end of the line for you.
Could be the end of the run.
You bring up Mason Taylor. I do want to talk about him though. You know, his father played in the NFL. He's got the pedigree in the way they talk about his movements, his abilities in line as a blocker, and kind of how he moves out of it. And the surface stats not being great can be a bit explained. I mean, what was that? Who was the tight end that was there that has been playing football since you and I were in diapers at the collegiate level? I'm drawing a blank, but he's had 85 redshirt seasons, and he still played tight end for the Hurricanes this year. And shout out to you for enduring.
Oh, Cam McCormick. Cam McCormick. Like eighth year fucking
shout
senior.
Out to you, ninth year senior, you know, so that can kind of explain a little bit of that. And I do, real quick before we wrap up, the reason why I got Tyler Warren at tight end 3, I got Colson as my tight end 2. The reason why I have Warren at 3, and I can, like I said, the top 3 are a tier. I can end up moving him up if he gets taken 10th overall or some nonsense. The size is there, don't get me wrong, but 5th-year breakout at any position is going to be a red flag for me. Before I see everything else come into place, we know he's going to be an athletic freak. There's reasons why he's a fifth-year breakout based on former tight ends. He came into college as a quarterback, had to put on weight, all this good stuff. So you can't explain it, but it's just we need to pump the brakes. As a fantasy community, we're so quick to absolutely shit all over the fifth-year breakout receiver, and then we get a fifth-year breakout tight end, and all of a sudden we're just going to throw out all the principles, all the processes that we've relied on. And I think that might be a bit of a fool's errand. Not saying that I'm throwing this guy in the trash, not saying I don't want anything to do with Tyler Warren, but folks, fans of South Harmon, listeners of 40 Chess, Tyler Warren is not Brock Bowers. Anyone who is telling you he is the next Brock Bowers, you can lose my number. He is not Brock Bowers.
The one thing I will say about Tyler Warren that still sticks with me today, and this is from last year's rookie draft cycle, is when we got to Theo Johnson, and Coop is out here shitting on him just because he's just a blocking tight end. That's what he thought. Like he said, he's just a blocking tight end. He showed us more at the NFL level. Definitely did. The one thing I brought up too, like in defense of Coop, that I added on to it when he brought up Theo Johnson's name, is the fact that Theo Johnson took a backseat to some fucking Tyler Warren that I've never fucking heard of playing the tight end position. And I was like, why is this plus freak athlete Theo Johnson taking a backseat to some fucking nobody, Tyler Warren, right? Like last year.
Yeah.
You see this year, and you're like, all right, I see why you took a backseat, all right?
He was a someone. And, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, who's like a legend in the draft space, has him as a top five player in the class. So I'm not saying that he's bad. I just think it's bad process to throw out all we've learned about fifth-year breakouts just because you like the fact that he looks like Gronk. He ain't Gronk. He ain't Brock Bowers.
I think what the plus is, and it does seem like it's trending this way, if a lot of people have Tyler Warren consensus tight end one, and we're talking rookie draft strategy here, and somebody's going to use a first-round pick on him, just be thankful that they use the first-round pick on Tyler Warren, and you just sit there in the second round and you grab up Harold Fannin or Colston Loveland, or maybe in the third round you grab Luke Lachey, whatever the fuck it is, and you're like, I didn't have to spend that premium draft capital, and I got somebody I think is just as good. I think that's the play. This is kind of like the Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth draft, yep, which at times has been all over the place with Kyle Pitts' value, right? At one point he's untouchable, at the next time everybody fucking hates him, and now we're at the point where it's like, can this dude even fucking play tight end? We don't
Everyone's
even know
just spite holding him, though. No one's traded Kyle Pitts. It's all spite hold.
We don't even know what it is. But I tell you what, anybody who passed on Kyle Pitts in the first round and took Pat Freiermuth in the second of their tight end premium leagues has been just like whistling Dixie. Like, this is fun. You guys spent the first and you've had to ride this trade. I've just had a really solid back end tight end one for the entirety of his career. It only cost me a mid to late second. This isn't bad. You spent the 104 on Kyle Pitts, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, when Jamar Chase went at the 105 because he couldn't see footballs without stripes.
So maybe you do that same fucking thing with Tyler Warren this year. You let somebody else have him, and you just enjoy the fact that I got another pretty good tight end. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be bold about this one. Welcome back, Luke Lachey, man. Tight end one. You guys are going to want this guy. And this is my new Sam Laporta. We're going to get him in the late second, early third round of our rookie drafts. He's probably going to go in the second round, maybe the early third of the NFL draft. And all of a sudden, we're going to be like, God damn, Mike did it again. Hit me, baby, one more time.
I think we just found our outro song.
Let's fucking go. Go, Brittany. It's Brittany, bitch.
It's Brittany, bitch.
I love it. Maddie, you got anything else for the people before we get out of here?
No, this was a lot of fun talking 2025 rookies. I mean, this is where we're at now in Dynasty. We're really focusing on the prospects coming into the NFL.
I'm ready to rock, man. I'm ready to play that Britney Spears. I got it queued up.
Yeah, baby.
I'm queued up. I'm ready to go. If you can do us a favor, you like the podcast, please rate and review it. Let us know how we're doing. Give us the feedback. Share it with your friends. Share it on social media. Do whatever you can to get this thing out there to the people. Maybe don't share it with your league mates, you know. I think we give pretty good information. It'll get you ahead of the curve. So maybe if you don't want to share it with your league mates, you know, I won't make you. You know, all's fair in competition. You know, fuck them guys. Fuck them. But check out everything we got going on over here at South Harmon. If you want more stuff, patreon.com/South Harmon. Jesus, I'm stumbling here. That vodka is tasting real good. But the community's always popping. Film sessions. We're going to be starting up mock draft Mondays this upcoming Monday, which is always a good time. Drafting the entirety of the first round of the NFL draft. Sitting in voice chat, just bullshitting back and forth. Perfect time to be in the Discord, especially if you're a Dynasty enthusiast. I can't stress that enough. This is where the money is made. The money is made. Not for us, but for the Dynasty manager is in the offseason. Nobody gives a shit about the regular season. It's about how you can dominate these rookie drafts. You position yourself and set yourself up to be the best dynasty team for multiple years. That's all I got. We're out of this thing. Peace. Breathe is you.
Oh.